Welcome to Handsome Boys Comics Hour. Hope you survived the experience.
Those boys are so handsome!
One writer,
one artist,
it's one weekly discussion of comics and nerd culture. I am your host, Robbie Dorman, literature geek and writer.
And I'm your other host, Eric Z. Goodnight, professional artist and illustration nerd.
And we are the Handsome Boys Comics Hour, your home for news, reviews, slightly antagonistic banter, and much, much more.
It's been a lot of talking.
Yeah, we've talked a lot. This is episode 45. We are, both of us just got home not too long ago from Orlando and MegaCon.
Yes, we have talked until we can't pop up, not pop.
Yeah, exactly. Our brains are mushy at this point.
It's from leaking out our ears.
Yeah, from three straight days of engaging with peoples.
With you.
With you, the people.
The people.
The people. It was, we're going to jump straight into checking in.
This is going to be a checking in heavy episode, I think.
Yeah, it is. This is probably be a little bit abbreviated, but we thought we'd at least get some out there and talk about our experience at MegaCon because it was so wonderful. Checking in is usually when we talk about the nerdier things we get into during the week, but this week it's going to be all MegaCon.
Yeah, because what else is there?
Nothing else. We've just spent 3 days pretty much. That's all we've done is just...
Yes, all standing and yelling at people, yeah. Not eating anything, not sleeping.
Dear Lord. God. Yeah, I got one good meal over the weekend, I think. No, two good meals. We had Friday and Saturday night. I had a good meal. But
I woke up extra early at 5 o'clock this morning and went to Denny's and read comic books.
At Denny's?
Yes.
Well, I mean... A suitable place as any.
It is. It is. I read Miss Marvel.
Yeah, me
Denny's
too.
On my phone.
Okay, awesome.
You didn't do it at Denny's, though.
I did not read Denny's. I did not read Denny's.
I am. You did not read Denny's. Denny's the book.
I read Miss Marvel just before we started recording. But yeah, MegaCon was a blast.
It was amazing. It was so amazing.
I had tempered my expectations a bit. I'd heard a lot of horror stories from people who had tabled at cons. I had never myself tabled, and I was pleasantly surprised at how almost unanimously the response was positive. It was, you know, almost everyone we encountered was very pleasant and nice and fun to talk to and. Just wonderful. I've got a cat trying to attack me.
It's a cat attack moment, guys.
Yeah, I've left my cats alone for 3 days, so they're all craving for attention. I can't blame them.
They are craving for attention.
Yes. They're not going to eat spiders, though.
Well, can you blame them?
At least not a room full of spiders.
Which cat is it?
It's Smokey, actually, which is a little Smokey. Surprising. Smokey generally doesn't want to try and crawl in front of the computer.
Smokey lives. Smokey's ruining your audio.
A little bit.
A little bit.
She's all right. I love Smokey.
She's hairy. She is.
She's a furry cat.
She is.
It's hard to know what to start. I mean,
it's been so much. I thought we could just sort of review... Some of our favorite, not famous, although, I don't know, some of our favorite moments.
Yeah.
Some of our favorite encounters with people.
I mean, the thing I've been telling, I went out to eat with my family and my and Kim's family on Saturday night.
Wait, who's Kim?
Kim is a puppet that I carry with me at all times.
That, I think you stole that concept.
I might have. I may have stolen that concept.
That sounds an awful lot like my D&D character for our campaign. Son of a bitch.
I don't know what you're talking about. It just came to me.
Does Kim have an axe in her mouth?
No, she doesn't, actually.
Okay. Then
she carries a calculator in her mouth.
Okay. That sounds a lot like Kim, actually.
But we went out to eat on Saturday night, and I was telling everyone at the table about Weird Al, about the guy, Jared, his name
was.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. I actually ran into him today.
You did?
Yeah. He was awesome. He was with Random Encounter.
Oh, he was?
I spoke to Random Encounter, and we may be pestering them, and they might be doing an episode with us.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Yeah, I talked to Konami from Random Encounter. He was hanging out with Weird Al, or Jared, as his name is.
Yes, his real name is. Yes, it was on Friday. We had at the booth. We had set up an emulator, so people could come play Mario and various other Nintendo games. We just had straight NES games. We had mostly varied between Mario and Mario 3. And we went back and forth. We had some Metroid and Ninja Gaiden, Zelda, other times, but mostly the vast majority is original Mario and Mario 3. And someone was playing Mario 3, and up comes a guy dressed up as Weird Al. Vintage Weird Al. 80s Weird Al. With a big perm.
Mm-hmm.
And he had an accordion.
He had a huge accordion.
A very nice-looking accordion, yeah.
I don't even remember who's... It had signatures on it. I don't remember
It had GLaDOS, the woman who does GLaDOS' voice. I know. I saw that in big letters. So.
That's what gives him his power.
Exactly. It was a triumph.
It was. It was a triumph.
And he was talking, he's a professional accordion player, and
he proved it.
Yeah, by playing without missing
a beat. He didn't even blink.
As the gentleman who was playing Mario 3 progressed through different levels, he switched up. He was playing the soundtrack to each level. He played the water music, the little Jacques Cousteau He did three or four different stages, bounced in between them, and I was flabbergasted. It was so incredible. That's the thing that really sticks out. But I mean, it was really
a beautiful moment.
Yeah,
it was one of those things that where else is it going to happen except a con?
We're playing Mario, and then a guy playing an accordion plays Mario with us.
That's kind of the beautiful thing about being a nerd is you have to be a pretty special person to dress up like Weird Al and learn how to play Mario music on the accordion and then go out in public and be like not at all ashamed about being that guy and then just let that moment happen.
I was incredible. There were people walking by without a glance. I'm like, how?
Yeah, I know. I started shouting.
I was like, look.
I'm like, life is passing you by. This is an amazing moment, and you are all part of it.
I will remember that forever.
I know. The other thing that I think, and they kind of bookended the con. There are other people that I want to talk about too, but this was the other big moment for me. I don't even remember this fella's name. We've just been calling him Purple Hair Dude.
Yes, he had cat paws on.
Cat paws on.
He had cat paws.
Yeah,
and he had purple hair.
He kept coming back and playing Mario 1.
Original Mario, yep.
Yeah, we had it up, and he made it to World 8 three separate times and got game over. And he was determined, and he would go shop and take a break and come back. And I think he made it and beat Bowser. He beat the last world in like one go, I think, on like one of his last lives. And man, everyone at the table cheered. It was like a tense moment. It was like watching an athlete compete. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was like watching someone chase for the home run crown.
Mm-hmm.
In the waning days of the baseball season, you're like, is he going to do it?
I know.
Is he going to do it? And that was the thing. Like, even like every time someone came up, I'm like, and a lot, there's, a, I mean, it's a Konami convention, so a lot of people, I mean, everyone liked Mario. That's kind of one of my things I wanted to mention. Like, Mario just brings people in. They something about him. It's that game. It's just so welcoming. And every time, like, there's tons of people who are really good at Mario, like much better than me. And
that goes without saying, Robbie.
I got better.
You did improve, but it doesn't much matter.
But I'm like, every time I'm like, no one's beaten it yet. And I'm like, really?
Yeah,
like,
we kept saying it, and I think that was his cue. Exactly. Purple haired dude was like, this is my calling.
Yeah.
I was born to do this.
So
I think that was I felt good that, like, as soon as he beat it, that, like, I high-fived him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an epic high-five.
It was a good high-five.
It had a really good report.
Yes, it was a nice one.
My hand was stinging really good afterwards. I think you high-fived him, too.
I couldn't not. Absolutely. I watched 3 days of people struggle.
Yeah.
And he finally beat the game. How could I not give him a high-five?
It was fantastic.
Yeah. Our neighbors gave him a comic as a reward.
They did. We should. Do you have that book handy?
I have their website up. Good.
I'm glad that you're a professional.
It. Yeah.
Yes.
They were our neighbors are indie comic creators, two writers. They were super, super nice. Yeah, Scott and Alex. Scott and Alex. They write a comic book called Remnants.
We're really looking forward to.
Yeah, I've started reading it.
What do you think so far?
I like it. They were very judgmental. They're very hard on themselves. Work. Yeah,
it's very easy to be.
Yeah, I completely understand, because most anything I try and write, I just pick it apart to death.
Yes.
And they were like, they kept, you know, every time I was like, yeah, I've started reading. They're like, yeah, don't. They're like, we started hitting our stride in this issue. I can see their criticisms as far as I've gotten, but I like it. I can see I've enjoyed what I've read so far, and I'm looking forward to finishing the stuff they gave us.
I'm looking forward. I wonder I'm gonna have maybe if I can get a digital copy. I'm not sure what stores they're in
What
level of distribution? Can you get it off of their website?
You can get the first four issues. It is called Remnants. You can visit their site. It's remnants-comic.com. And you can read all about the comic itself. Scott and Alex are the two writers. They have an artist who they said lives in France.
Yeah, France.
You can order it on their website, or you can get the first four issues for free and try it out, which sounds like a good deal to me. They were really wonderful guys. We got a nice little rapport going.
Mm-hmm. They were our con buds weekend because we couldn't leave the booth, and neither could they.
Yes, and we're
being in a war together.
Yes, we're hoping to have them on the show, hopefully sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I would absolutely love to talk to those guys about this book, and I am so looking forward to reading it.
Yeah, so again, that is remnants-comic.com. Check it out.
Should definitely be in the show notes, I would
imagine. Yeah, I will also link to it in the show notes. So you guys can get to it. What else do you want to mention, Eric? I know we have tons of stuff. I mean, there's so many cosplayers.
So many, like a ridiculous amount of cosplayers. Oh, man. I think one of my favorite interactions, there was a Sophidia or some Soul Calibur character.
Yes, yes.
I knew it was a Soul Calibur character, but I wasn't sure which one.
Mm-hmm.
And she was walking around with her boyfriend who was cosplaying as the Odinson.
Yes.
And I saw them. They were not even at our booth. They were across the way. And as I've been doing all weekend, I just yell at them. And I yelled one of my favorite things from this time. And I did it like this. And we'll see. I hope this comes in through the mic pretty good. Her boobs are flopping out, but the soul still burns.
Yes.
And I don't know what combination of whatever synergy it was, but she thought that was the funniest thing ever. And somehow we didn't get in a big, huge slap fight. She actually asked me to follow her around and shout things at her in the con, and I said I would love to, but I have to keep my feet planted here.
Yes.
Have to keep them planted on the ground.
Standing.
Standing.
Men, that's another thing we can... We stood.
Stood. Standing.
Standing for many hours.
Those were our standing orders. Also, puns. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, puns. There were many puns.
I am almost sick of myself. I can't even remember all the puns that I've been saying. I don't know where it's coming from.
It's the Brandon Graham. All the Brandon Graham you've read.
I think I've been channeling Brandon Graham. Yeah. Yeah. All the... What was that word we came up with? Butts and butt is buns. That already is a word.
I know.
It means butt puns.
Butt puns.
Butt puns.
Yes.
Butts and puns. I think that maybe Jesus. I think I am infected by Brandon Graham. I think he traveled back in time and infected me before I knew he was a thing.
That sounds like something he would write about.
Yeah, Jesus.
That'd be in Prophet. That would be the next issue of Prophet.
That would be in Prophet. Oh my God!
The gentleman dressed up as Freddie Mercury.
I wanted to hug him, but he looked very uncomfortable. But I definitely raised my voice for that as well.
I was
so excited. He looked a lot like Freddie.
He did a good job.
He had the sort of pompadour going on. He had the mustache. He probably would have fucked up his own teeth, but someone was like, "Hold on."
He had the tank top mm-hmm. with the yellow. I think yellow
yeah,
pants with
like
a stripe.
He had
with
stripe.
The stripe on.
He
had everyone, stripe. You know those that stripe.
Yeah,
the
you. I mean,
striped pants. Those are Freddie Mercury pants.
Most people only go to the trouble of growing a mustache. This guy went the full.
He was carrying a microphone as well.
He was because he's a boss. I remember shouting. I'm actually a little ashamed of it because I screamed it. Mr. Fahrenheit is in the house.
Yes, you
I
did.
Actually said in the house.
Well, you
That's,
were,
it's a little embarrassing.
The Freddie Mercury brings it out.
Ever.
Freddie Mercury
yes,
brings
yes,
it out
it
in
does.
You.
I what can I say?
Yes,
Freddie was special. Yeah, Freddie special to all of us.
Of all the, there's so many good cosplays like that. MegaCon always brings. There's always people with really memorable cosplaying.
Yeah.
The one that stands out to me, maybe because it's two marriages of things I really, really like from my mm-hmm. childhood.
Right.
Kitty Pryde.
Yes.
I
saw a couple of very adorable Kitty Prydes.
Yeah.
And shouted at all of them,
yes,
I think.
Kitty Pryde, who had, instead as Lockheed, she had
yes!
She had Figment. Disney's Figment.
Did Disney's Figment.
And my grandmother, we'd go to Disney World and we would ride the Figment ride together.
Go to Epcot.
Yep. And that I've always liked Figment because of that. And then Kitty Pryde.
She had Figment right on her shoulder.
Maybe my favorite X-Men. Maybe.
She's very. Old Sprite.
Yeah. Or Shadow Cat. Or
Shadow Cat.
Whatever name you want to call
Shadow
her.
Shadow Sprite. Sprite yeah. Cat.
And.
Kitty Cat.
That marriage of things just like hit that right chord of nostalgia. And I mm-hmm. that was.
No, it was
inspired.
Inspired is the right word. It's a pretty genius moment.
Right.
My goodness gracious. There were a lot of characters. A lot of them I can't even remember by name. A lot of strange people. A lot of very fun people to talk to.
I would like to mention that I had a very unscientific experiment going on
uh-huh.
at the table. I was, you know, we were stationed there for three
oh,
days straight,
yes.
and
I
not
forgot about that.
And not moving. And so I made myself a little chart of all the different groups of fandoms.
Yes,
and I was
all the cosplayers,
the top ones, you know, you always see. And I was going to see who came out on top. Of course, this is only when I saw them.
Yeah, only when I saw ones that he missed.
Yeah, I was playing Mario a lot of times because that was like I think it did help to have someone playing.
It's more inviting to see a person playing it as opposed to just seeing why is that running Mario? Why is that just a video? People don't realize they can interact.
Yeah, so I didn't have my eyes on all the time, but I had Doctor Who, any Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And
any doctor. Most has to be of them, a doctor.
yeah, most and no TARDIS costume,
not just a TARDIS,
no
not,
companions,
yes,
no
dressed as the Doctor,
no weeping angels, none of that. Only Doctors.
There were many of all of these.
It was mostly the new ones. There were some vintage Doctors.
Yes,
a couple of them.
Tom Baker was really the only one I saw.
Yeah, that's. The scarf is.
Yes.
Yeah,
and it can't just be a T-shirt and a scarf.
It has to be at least the full costume. I mean, the new modern Doctors are pretty simple because. It's either
a suit with a bow tie.
Hmm?
I saw Dr. 8. He was fabulous. I had a nice conversation with him.
I don't
he informed me that as long as cravats are cool, Stetsons are cool.
Okay. All right.
So, but I agreed with him.
Yeah, I had Doctor Who. I had Deadpools, which
yes.
There's always Deadpools.
There were many Deadpools. I'm kind of wondering what the tabulation is here.
Yeah.
If Deadpool is one.
There was Deadpool. There was Homestuck Kids.
You're going to keep me in suspense.
I'm
going to
keep
in
suspense. There's Homestuck.
Homestuck Kids.
Well, it's...
There are no Homestuck 55-year-olds.
I never saw Homestuck Adult.
No.
I don't think I've ever seen
no
adult
Homestuck
yet
55-year-olds.
I'm sure there were probably adult-aged people
right.
dressed
no
as Homestuck.
No octogenarian Homestuck.
But
people.
I can't... I guess I'm an old man now. Because I go all those Homestuck Kids liking something I'm not aware of, really. And I only think I had Game of Thrones on there. I added Assassins from Assassin's Creed because I saw a lot of them on the first day. Adventure Time, Jokers, Wrestlers, just because I like wrestling, and Mario's. I think there may have been others, but those are the ones I can recall. And it was neck and neck between Doctor Who and Deadpool. Those were the two that were competing mainly. And Deadpool ended up winning by about, I think, two. I think I saw two more. Of course, it could have been the same Deadpool at a certain point. I mean, there's only so many variations on Deadpool you can do. But I want to say that, yeah, with my very unscientific criteria, Deadpool won.
Deadpool coming out ahead.
Yeah, Deadpool won our little
by a nose.
My little contest. He wins nothing because he's a fictional character.
Well, fair enough.
Yeah, and the fact that when we were carrying crap out to the car at the end of the day, there was a bunch of dancing Deadpools that got in the way. That made me a little perturbed. So.
Well, when you want to go and a bunch of people in tights are wiggling their ass at you,
yeah.
It's truly frustrating.
Yes, when you're carrying heavy things and your arms hurt.
Yep. Not sure what that ninja just attacked me.
I was like, oh my god, shurikens!
Katana! Oh my goodness. I got a couple more people.
Go ahead, yeah.
It was very eventful. I swear to god, I must have talked to thousands of people.
It seems like it.
I barely saw them at the con, but hanging out in a bar, I met a group, two groups of cosplayers. One I can call out by name. They're just a bunch of friends that cosplay. They go by Stormhammer Cosplay.
Okay.
Leather workers and, just sort of, you know, nerdy craftsmen, but they're weird and interesting and pretty fun to hang out with. What was that? Saturday night, I hung out with them. And that was the same night where I met up with Beetlejuice. I bought whiskey for Beetlejuice. How many of you can say that? There was a gentleman dressed as Beetlejuice from the movie... RoboCop.
I thought you wanted me to say it three times. I thought that's what
No. I was trying to think up something appropriately inappropriate. So yeah, it was Beetlejuice and Lydia, and just sat down and talked to them. There was a three of them. They had another friend whose name I do not remember, They were all makeup artists from Universal Studios, local to Orlando.
Nice.
And it's why if you actually looked at their makeup, it's like stage-ready makeup.
Right.
You know? And like why his hair and his wig was so well done. Like he looked like he was bald. Mm-hmm. You know, it was really, really impressive if you got to look up at it. His suit looked like it had been just painted with, you know, store paint, which kind of bugged me. But it the curb appeal of it was glorious, and they were amazing, and he was in character so, so well. They didn't like that I was drinking Lagavulin. They said it was gross, and it tasted like eating a fireplace. And I said, fuck you, that's the point. So we all had whiskey together. That's the only way you can settle these differences is by drinking more.
Is that how that works?
That is how it worked. It worked out quite well. So I hung out with all those crazy nuts. There were, there were quite a few other characters, but not a whole heck of a lot else. I guess that would be, it would be almost rude not to mention Ian, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Ian was hanging out.
Stopped by every day.
He did. He stopped by. He was. He's a fan. I think.
I'm happy to have him.
I know. So Ian, it was good to meet you.
Hope you're listening.
We're calling you out. If you're not, you're a son of a bitch. do you know another thing that just cracked me up? It happened at least three times. That kids stopped me and wanted my picture.
Yeah.
But like one of them, like at the booth was like, take my picture with the awesome guy. They literally said that. How would you describe how I was gussied up this time?
For those that
are experienced this on the magic of radio.
Yeah.
And can't see me.
Yeah. On Friday you had your black cowboy hat. Mm-hmm. On.
I was a bad guy.
You had a black hat. You got Adam Savage every day.
I did.
I can see it. And we've recorded this on the podcast that of mm-hmm. us, you are the Adam Savage.
I like this comparison.
Adam Savage, I'm Jamie.
He is one of my greatest heroes.
He's amazing. But you got one that the guy who was dressed up as the Shadow, who was wonderful as well. His cosplay was great.
Oh man, I forgot about the Shadow and what was the Spider? What was his name?
The Spider.
I don't remember his first name, but his last name is Oldham. He came did the comic book guy voice today.
Yes.
He kinda irked me because he interrupted a conversation with some very, very young women, and I was trying to get them to sign up for the podcast, but he was very cool and very charming.
Talked about
I got over being irked.
Dave Stevens.
Yeah, he told me the best Dave Stevens story.
You guys broed out about Dave Stevens.
We were totally broing out about Dave Stevens, about how he talked about how the King Kong Island was going to resurface in the Rocketeer comic that never got written.
Mm-hmm.
The King Kong Island was going to resurface. Cliff Secord was going to rescue Amelia Earhart from it. And there were going to be dinosaurs. Tell me you don't want to read that Rocketeer comic.
Unfortunately, it'll never exist.
It will never exist unless I save Dave Stevens. Let's get in the time machine.
Getting back to our original tangent from the other tangent, Buford Tannen, that we had from Back to the Future 3, Biff's great-great-great-grandfather? I forget which generation.
I'm looking him up now, and it is not a welcome comparison.
I know, it's, yeah,
it
but...
It is not. This guy is a typical movie... buffoon villain.
Well, it's Tom Wilson in heavy makeup.
Yes, it's this.
Yeah, but I thought it was funny because you're right. I think it was the black hat and the goatee really much was it. That's all it needed.
Well, he doesn't even have a goatee. He just has a big handlebar mustache.
Well, it's...
And shit on his face.
Manure.
Manure.
Why is it always manure?
There you go.
On Saturday you wore your Stetson, your white Stetson cowboy hat, and you got more Adam Savage. But
we need to take a break here, folks, because I am going to send Robbie a very important image that came up whilst I was Googling Buford Tannen.
Oh my God, what is this?
This is very important. Take a look.
What are you sending me?
Take a look.
I gotta pop up on Facebook again.
Yeah, look at it. What do you got?
Oh my God. Like, stop stupid Facebook. I got Facebook's. Oh God, what is it? Really?
I don't know what to tell you. Google image search.
Why did you send me that?
Because I told you. Google image brought me pictures of Buford Tannen. This is what Buford Tannen looks like. It is a picture of an old lady. It says, I grow my own dildos.
With the peppers that look like giant penises. Penises with balls.
That's Buford Tannen, guys.
That's the worst thing ever. I grow my own dildos. And it's like Toki Wartooth right there.
There you go.
Dildos.
That's dildos,
That's
man.
That's dildos.
That's dildos. You grow your own. That's.
I think the lady's no teeth. I think this is what sells that.
Are you going to put this picture in your show notes?
She's grinning. She's grinning with no, has no teeth.
Well, you don't need teeth.
Thank you for that very important interruption.
A good organic dildo.
The hell?
Oh. If this didn't need to be a MegaCon episode, this should be called, this episode should be Organic Dildos.
Yes. God, you're awful. It's awful.
It's the best is what it is.
You were dressed up as like the epitome of Southern machismo.
Well, fair enough.
I think that's a good way to say it.
I like how you wrote down in my show notes that I'm checking in with being loud and wearing a hat.
And?
I didn't say I was going to argue.
Okay.
I'm just pointing it out that you're putting words in my mouth, be they true words or not.
Yes. That the gentleman dressed as a shadow did one. I wish I had seen him as Solomon Grundy.
Oh my God, he was amazing. I took a good picture of him.
I wish I had seen him because he said he's coming back on Saturday, Solomon Grundy. But Saturday was so crazy.
He's probably dead.
I don't think he's dead.
He was probably trampled.
He's a big guy.
He was probably trampled by nerds.
I think I like that. That's the first assumption we go with. Because there were literally 100,000 people there.
Nope.
But because
I actually don't think there were 100,000.
No, probably not
that
50, much.
There were. Did you actually drop literally too? Did you say literally 100,000?
I know.
I hope not. Posterity will know.
I don't think I said literally.
Well, it's fine either way. Because it was, I think it sold out at 50,000.
Okay, I have no idea. I just put a number out there.
Everyone, and whenever you talk about this, people were like, fire marshal, bah. They always say fire marshal.
Fire marshal.
Bah.
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 Bah. I think it's more likely that we didn't see him because there's many, 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 many people.
Yes.
All dressed up.
Oh, man. Do you know who else we didn't mention?
Who didn't we not mention?
Did you talk to Ever?
Ever? There's someone named Ever?
There was someone named Ever. You
I don't,
do not talk
I didn't,
to her?
If I talk to them, I do not recall them giving me a name of Ever.
Well, her name was Ever, E-V-A-R. I do not remember her husband's name.
Okay.
But I remember Ever, because Ever was a cancer survivor.
Okay. Oh, they had the giant poster!
They had the amazing poster, and they told me this heart-wrenching story about how Ever was... They found a huge tumor in her head, and she was wearing like noise canceling headphones because they said that after the brain surgery, like she actually walked up to me and said, after the brain surgery, I have to wear these to help muffle the sound. And of course she walked up to me, the loudest person at the time. But she says this, oh, I have to wear these after the brain surgery. And I'm like, is that a joke? That's really funny. And then she's like, no, I just had brain surgery. And fishes into her purse and brings out a bunch of CAT scans or MRIs or, you know, whatever sort of imaging.
Medical magic.
yeah, whatever sort of wizardry she might have had, and there was something. It looked the size of my hand. It was huge, size of my fist, in this woman's head. And they're like, they operated, they took it out. It's the size of a pea now. She's being treated, and she's, we're not, they wouldn't give an answer whether it was clear or not she was going to die. But basically they said that she's already beaten all the odds. That they told her she would have died a long time ago. And it was a pretty amazing thing for her to come up and talk to us. Just because we were loud and being stupid.
we're good at that.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know. She said we brightened her day a little bit. And that, that, my friends, made me happy. And, I don't know what to tell you.
And they had a amazing poster.
Oh, my God. This poster was huge.
I've never seen one like that before. If I could find one, the amount of money I would pay for it.
How many tell me how many in Batman's on a horse. That's your unit of cash.
Is it loose or framed?
Oh, however you want it, sir.
I'd want it framed.
Yes. So
I would give, see, can I split up the Batman's on a horse?
I think so.
Up to two Batman's on a horse, probably.
Up to two?
Up to two.
Okay.
That's $800. That's $800 for you people, okay, who don't know how much Batman and a horse costs.
I don't think everyone. That's not really money in every part of the world.
No, it's not only at
Tate's Comics.
Yes, but that poster is an artifact from.
Why don't you try and describe it? Maybe
how big was it? It was.
Oh yeah,
like five by 8 feet. Yeah, 5 by 8 feet.
Well, I would say that's roughly right. Maybe it was 4, but 5 doesn't sound too bad. It was enormous.
It was massive.
Yes, this guy was carrying it around.
In a gigantic tube.
In a tube from Bass Pro Shop that a fishing pole came in.
Yes.
So that should give you an idea of how the short dimension was on this thing. It was rolled up on the long dimension.
Yes. And it had, what year did, I remember he said when I was standing there what year it went up to. Mm-hmm. And that had every Marvel character.
Yes.
Or at least everyone you've ever heard of.
It had, it may or may not have been every. It looked like a serious attempt at every.
It had
like
1,000 characters on it.
It was quite absurd. A lot of different artists. It had Ego the Living Planet.
Yeah.
It literally had Ego the Living Planet. Do you know who that is?
Because
I just said it and I don't.
He's a Jack Kirby creation.
I know.
Yeah.
That was me being ironic. That's it going over your head.
Yeah, exactly. It happens. It happened a lot this weekend.
It does.
I was too busy playing Mario.
Too busy sucking at Mario.
Yeah, we had our, Eric was like the ringmaster.
I was. He was like, very ringmastery.
He was the ringmaster, and I don't even know what
you were the sideshow monkey.
I don't know about a monkey.
You're a clown.
Maybe.
You're a sad clown. That's you.
I don't want to be a sad clown.
So what?
Sad clowns just like they bother me.
Well, you bother yourself.
I was like the straight man or something. I think that
you kind of are the straight man.
And I was basically playing Mario. We've mentioned that the emulator was set up, and I think that's the big thing I want to touch on, other than like the amazing positive response we got, was Mario is, you know, playing it for 3 days straight is. I've never done that before. I mean, I played Mario many, many times, mostly as a kid and a couple, you know, you once in a while when you're an adult, you play it, you know, on Wii, you know, in the virtual console or on the emulator or something.
Right.
But playing it for that long and seeing what it brings out in people, like everyone.
Do you know something that's just sort of popped into my head is the Mario is kind of like the Beatles of video games.
It is.
Yeah.
And everyone... New Mario in Mm-hmm. Most people mm-hmm. either would wanted to play. Like we got like a
four, we got a, there were a lot of looks.
4 year old kids playing.
Yes. Yeah.
Their grandparents playing.
Yes.
Like families would come up, a kid would go, "I'm gonna play." He would play, and he'd be like, "This is hard. Xbox is easier." And his dad shoulder him out of his way and say, "No, let me play. Let me show you how it's done." And his dad would, you know, school him. Yes. And I thought that was.
Do you remember the guy that played with a controller upside down?
I know that was, and he was good.
He
really
was
good.
Very good. He was extremely good.
Yeah, with his kids were playing too, and he went, "No, here, let me show you." And he played it the controller upside down and backwards.
Upside down and
backwards.
And I'd
never seen that before.
Yeah, I didn't see the way his kids played.
They played normal.
They played like humans. Like he played
everyone
like
I've ever seen has.
I believe he is from outer space.
I don't know how he learned why he started playing like that, but it worked for him. He did quite well. He got pretty far.
He got pretty far.
Yeah, and after you get a good grasp on the good people good at Mario, and the people who are not good at Mario, mm-hmm. including myself.
You're one of them.
I've gotten better. Watching good players play Mario for several days, you learn tricks. You learn by example. So I got a little bit better. I probably will. I think my main problem is just wanting to go too fast. And I'm not good enough to go fast. but it's Mario's a great game.
Yeah, you said it yourself that it is kind of amazing how revolutionary it was.
It's a
time when it was just a few years before, it was like an unheard of concept for there to be a character in a video game.
Yeah. And there's stuff in that game that modern games can't do right.
Yes. The fact that Mario teaches you how to play Mario. There's no tutorial.
No.
You pick up a controller, you play. You know? Everyone's all marveling about how the iPad's magical. You just sort of just know how to do it. You just know how to play Mario. Maybe you're terrible at it. But you can figure it out.
Yeah, there's 4 year old children who I'm positive have never picked up a controller before. Gave them the controller. I said, "That's jump. That button's run. Use mm-hmm. the D-pad to move." They were killing Goombas within a minute.
Yep.
They understood.
Yep.
It's something unconscious inside your brain that you know what to do.
That our Neanderthal ancestors. They were killing Goombas.
Eric's not drinking whiskey right now, as far as I know.
It would probably take the edge off.
we met a lot of cool people, got a lot of entries into our Saga contest, which I will be drawing it tomorrow night and emailing the winner, probably shortly after, or shortly before or after I edit this episode and post it. You guys will be getting your emails with.
And for everyone that subscribed through the con,
mm-hmm.
thank you for coming out to meet us. Thank you for being so cool. Thank you for talking with us and having a good time and subscribing. And thank you for listening.
Yes, if you were listening, you met us at MegaCon. Thank you very much. You guys were all really awesome.
I hope that your experience was, if it was half as good as ours, you had an amazing time.
Yes, exactly. Con!
That seems like a pretty good punctuation mark to end on. Was there anything else you wanted to go on?
No. I think that's it for the con.
I think we're pretty well checked in on con stuff.
Yeah. We do want to... We'll hit up the week's books in Weekly Floppies, but that will be it for this episode.
What's this Weekly Floppies thing?
Weekly Floppies is part of the show where we read the week's newest books and tell you to buy them or do not buy them.
I think that's good advice.
And you should follow our advice.
How does it compare to the rest of my week in terms of floppiness?
I think it's the floppiest part of the week.
Joy.
Exactly. we are going to put off, anyway, we had announced last week that we're doing War Hulk. We are going to put that off one more week. So you guys who haven't caught up with us, you have another week to read
more. You have 2 weeks for World War Hulk.
Yes, 5 issues. So I would hope.
We read Bone in a day.
Yeah, I know. We read World War Hulk 2 weeks.
God, that was exhausting. I think that was almost more tiring than this MegaCon.
I'll read Bone 3 times.
I read Bone in 2 days. I read Bone. That's 1,000 pages.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot.
It was so long.
But we're going to push that off another week and make this a little abbreviated episode because we are both very, very tired. But we want to get something out there to talk about the con because we thought it was really special. Starting off, we're going to start off with DC this week. And first up is Animal Man number 29, the last issue of Jeff Lemire's Animal Man. Animal Man, as we've been, we like to say.
As we've been saying it badly.
Yeah, as we cannot talk, as has been already mentioned at least once on the show. This is written by Jeff Lemire. They brought back Travel Foreman, who had started off this run. He had done the original few arcs on this series, so they brought him back to do the last episode, with Jeff Lemire also doing some of his art on a little, like a storybook section almost, which I'm very interested to see what Eric thinks about that. But colors by Jose Villarubia. I can't roll my R's, I'm sorry. Lover and Kinzierski, Jerry K. Fletcher doing letters, with Jeff Lemire and Travel Foreman doing the cover. Mm-hmm. This is it. It kind of just puts a little period on Animal Man. I really like this. It's a nice final issue.
Yes, it's a nice little bit of finality.
A little bit, like a very nice abbreviation. A little bit of just, you know, that you kind of cleans up the loose ends of the series, and gives you a nice feeling of closure with the Buddy Baker and his family. They kind of show the Red being put in control of his cat and the goat guy. I don't know what's to call
goat
him.
Guys. It's good enough for me.
Goat guy.
If
you're reading Animal Man, you know what we're talking about. But they
it's not Hawk Guy.
No, it's not Hawk or Hawk Guy.
It's not Hawk.
Yes. But
do we have to start inserting notes for all these self-references?
Yes, we have.
Let's go back to this old episode.
Yes,
where we say Hawk
40 times.
Yeah.
But it just, you know, we get a little bit of closure about Buddy Baker and where his family's at. And, you know, how do you feel about, I know you don't like Jeff Lemire's art. Every time we've seen it, you don't like it. I don't mind it to enjoy it. I thought it was perfect.
Yes.
For this little narrative that his daughter tells him a bedtime story, and it's that section which Jeff Lemire draws.
Yeah, ironically enough, or at least maybe it's ironic to you, given what you're saying,
mm-hmm.
This is Jeff Lemire's art is my favorite in this episode.
Mm.
I think mostly I had the problem with his color.
Mm.
His watercolors were muddy and a little gross. The digital color on this really cleans it up, makes it look more professional, and it really brings it to life. And it just makes it look quirky and stylized. And
right.
It makes it all work together extremely well. It's the whole rest of the frame of the book that really bothers me, because it doesn't even the whole thing looks like the characters are done in Google SketchUp.
It suffers a little bit from Phil Noto-ism.
Not even just Phil Noto-ism, mm-hmm. Although I know what you mean.
There's
you know,
a lot of
boring,
backgrounds that seem to be just
but
not
it's,
there.
Exactly, but the fact that it's isometric,
right,
is kind of making me like the shot of Maxine's his wife, Maxine in the bed.
Mm-hmm.
It's the isometric view. Everything is in perfect perspective. This artist sketched this out in in a program called Google SketchUp, I can almost guarantee it, and just sort of either traced it or just used it straight printed out from the program. And it looks like he also used models, too. Like these are 3D models for all the figures. You can tell by the complete thinness of the line, like how it's completely uniform. Like it's just dumped out of a 3D modeling program. And then he might have drawn into the faces a little bit. Yeah, I really thoroughly dislike it. I think it's some of the worst art that I've ever seen in a comic book that we've read.
Really?
Yes, I feel that strongly about it. It looks amateurish and lazy. It looks like this person was, and it very well might have been, that they were brought in at the last minute, and they're like, we're closing this book down. You got to tell this story. You got to get this together now. And Jeff Lemire's like, I can't finish it. Raphael Albuquerque's been pulled off of it. And they had to get someone on a tight budget or something, but something doesn't feel right about this.
Well, this Trevor Foreman, he did draw the very first, like the first issues of the series, and
I want to go back and see.
It looks different.
If they're good.
It meshes with Albuquerque's style that we've been looking at for the past couple arcs.
And it just very well could have been that. It was a time constraint thing that he's like, I have to be able to tell this story and this has to go to press. In which case I understand, but they should have let him delay it.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not an artist like Eric, so I don't have an educated eye. I mean, it doesn't look, it does have some of that Phil Noto thing where
the backgrounds are empty.
Yeah, there's kind of nothing there. I really have liked this art, this Animal Man series a lot. And the amount of charm that's in the little storybook section. Oh, did you hear that, Eric?
It's time for a cat check-in.
We got the cat, another cat. More cats.
Cat attack.
The amount of charm that's just in the storybook section, that it kind of talks about what has gone on. And I had recently gone back and read through all of this, and it really pulled on a lot of the thing, like all that feelings I developed for these characters, and that alone sold this book to me.
Mm-hmm. And no, it's a book well worth buying, and I love that I don't love that it's ending. I like that it's ending in this moment. It's a nice moment to feel like the credits are rolling.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It just feels nice. Well written, and I even like Lee Myers. I like Lee Myers' illustrations a lot.
Yeah, that's the most surprising thing to me, because I was expecting that. But, and there's also a little shout out to Warren Ellis. If you look to what the book, his wife's name's Ellen. Maxine is the daughter.
Ah, yes.
I'll edit it.
Whatever.
The book she's reading is by Lauren Sellis.
I saw that too.
Yes. And it looks like Dead Pig Collector, which is his latest short story. Cat problems. Jeff Lemire is going to be, Animal Man will be in the new Justice League title. Justice League. Oh, what the hell is the, it's Justice League Canada, but it's not called Justice League Canada. It's called Justice League something else, but Animal Man will be included in that title. And I'm anxious to see a Justice League title that is not terrible. Cause the Justice League and Justice League America are both pretty bad. For the most part. I'm glad Jeff Lemire will be moving to that, hopefully bringing along some of this quality. This Animal Man has been a great run. This is one of the DC books that I've enjoyed all the way through.
Yep.
I'm a buy on this. And all the Animal Man, go buy it all. Go read all this. It's really good.
Yeah. Total buy. Yeah. Total buy.
Double total buy. next up in DC is another, I've been on my little, our so-called tour of the new 52.
Yeah.
Because we've been checking in on all these books that, you know, I don't want to, we're getting in this rut of reading the same DC books and not trying to read other things. Cause I want to get a full, full exposure to it. And, you know, if we're criticizing New 52, I at least want us to expose us to all these books and have a real reason that we don't like it.
Yeah. We're jumping around and hopefully you got to at least be able to throw a rock and hit a good comic book.
Yes. And this, the next book in DC is Red Hood and the Outlaws, number 29. Let me find the freaking credits page. There it is. Written by Will Pfeiffer, pencils by Rafael Sandoval, inks by Paul Neary and Jordi Tarragona, colors by Matt Yackey, with letters by Taylor Esposito. And I was fully expecting to hate this.
I kind of enjoyed it, too. And it was not that bad. Yeah, I enjoyed it. This was the book that was infamous for being, like, a complete sexist pile of garbage because when they rebooted Starfire's character, apparently what they were going to do is just make her a sex-crazed, insane person, which really upset a lot of people. Because a lot of people's first introduction to Starfire, or what's her damn name? Starfire, yes.
Yes.
I'm losing my marbles here.
Melting Brains.
Yes, Melting Brains. Just remember Melting Brains and judge us just slightly less. Starfire, yeah. What is it? Teen Titans? The Teen Titans cartoon?
Yes, Teen Titans. And
where she's an adorable little happy, chipper, little airhead girl.
Yeah.
That, I mean, you can't not love the character. And in this, she is just, like, devoid of anything. She is a libido. Then that is it. She's, like, to give her a character to be like, oh, she's interesting. It's that she has no concept of shame or monogamy or not fucking all the time. And somehow there's none of this in here. That this doesn't feel like terrible characters doing things for no reason.
No, I think what is so good about it, what makes me like it, there are three characters, three heroes. That's it. That's all we focus on.
Yeah, there's not 1,000 different things happening. There's basically two scenarios happening simultaneously, enough to keep you interested, and it's focused.
Right. You have Red Hood and Starfire fighting a guy on a planet.
Yes. And you fighting a weird lizard man wearing a vest and pants.
Yes.
A vest and no shirt.
Yes. And Roy Harper fighting these two guys who have taken over their spaceship, or three guys who have taken over their spaceship, and
yes,
with a little robot, the bomb guy, helper thing.
Yes.
And they don't try and do crazy with 40 characters. No. It's not a ridiculous story. I kind of like the villain's motivation. I think it's kind of fun. And, you know, it's not super serious. It's lighthearted to a certain extent. There's a little kind of couple funny gags.
Yeah.
And
this is a solid book.
Yeah. And the art is
very good.
Yeah. The lizard man with the vest.
Yeah.
He looks pretty awesome.
He looks great. Yeah. He looks great. He gets melted.
Yeah. his pants and knee pads and a vest with no shirt.
Yeah, what's the deal, man? Gets his arms cut off, and gets his hands cut off.
And then turns gooey.
He keeps grabbing Red Hood's face.
Yes. It's really good. And you get a clear view of the characters, their motivations, a little insight into their personalities.
Yeah.
You get the motivations of the villains.
I guess that you do.
And you get good art.
Mm-hmm.
And it a surprise that somehow adds up to a good comic book. Fun to read.
I don't
crazy.
Know how the math of this works. Good plus good plus good plus good.
Equals good.
Equals good.
It's crazy.
My God, it's fucking synergy.
I know. And I'm happily surprised by this. Yeah. I was expecting this to be bad. Because the last few of these that are that – that are something, something, and the somethings. Whatever. Superboy and Teen Titans and the blah, blah, blah. They've been bad. Yes.
Superboy and the shitty comics.
Yes. And this was good, and I am going to I'm going to continue reading this. We might read this one. This might be the one that replaces Animal Man.
I know. I hope that it can be.
Yeah, it's good. So I'm Red Hood now, Alls 29. I'm a buy. I'm surprised buy.
Let's buy.
Double buy.
Let's take a minute here and let's try and brain something out here. Jason Todd is Red Hood.
Yes.
This is the new 52.
Yes.
How does this work?
In what, in the time frame?
Yeah, is this way in the future Jason Todd has already happened again?
No,
Jason Todd's death?
No, this is in the present day.
Okay.
It's compressed timeline. I try not to think about it. It makes it hard to read anything involving Batman and Robin, because that means there were four Robins in 5 years.
Yes.
That's basically, and Stephanie Brown never existed. She's going to be in the new Batman comic that is in the future. That is in the future. It's like 5 years in the future, set in DC continuity at least. So, but this, yes, there were four Robins in 5 years.
And he was murdered by the Joker.
He was murdered by the Joker and brought back to life. Yes, in 5 years. Try not to think about it.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Try not to think about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm prepare yourself, because I'm going to drop a bomb. That is fucking retarded.
I know, but I try not to think about it when I'm reading a good comic.
Don't, because blood will shoot out of your nose.
Yes. Just like a squirt. Right. Boom.
I think enough said about that, right?
Yes. Yes, that's one of the problems with the new 52 is
that it doesn't make
the timeline doesn't line up. If they want to keep, they want to have their cake and eat it too in some of these instances. We're moving on to Marvel. First up, Ms. Marvel number 2. A lot of good books came out this week, but we loved Ms. Marvel number 1, and I definitely wanted to talk about number 2 on the podcast. This was, why is everyone hiding it? Okay. Written by G. Willow Wilson. Art by Adrian Alfana. Ian Herring on colors. Joe Caramagna on letters. Continues to be great. Ms. Marvel number 2.
I know. What else can you say about it? Kamala is an amazing character. She is a very, very underrepresented ethnic group in comics. And it's not pandering. It's not tokenism.
No.
It's not orientalism. It's fascinating that it's so well done.
Yes, it's authentic. It's genuine. That's what it
is.
That's
genuine,
that's
is a great
one
word
for genuine.
It. Genuine.
Yes, and the art is great. So good.
I love Adrian Alfana. I love him. The Runaways, which I have talked about till I was blue in the face at con.
Yes, yes.
I was talking about Saga so much.
Yes, who Brian K. Vaughan did Runaways, and Adrian Alfano works on Runaways with him.
Yes, 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 yes. But it's he was good in Runaways.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to become a master. This is incredibly good. It is energetic and playful and stylized and just such fun. It is great for this book.
This book is so good, and it's something that I'm so happy Marvel is publishing a book like this. That it's a Muslim teenager, who's a comics fan, becomes a superhero.
Writes fanfic. That's how big of a nerd she is.
And becomes a superhero. And and my favorite part about this is all these, she uses all these keywords to try and use, she doesn't know how to use her powers yet.
Yes.
And she's just relying on her instincts. So she's like yelling, transform, and embiggen. She used the word embiggen.
She does.
And disembiggen.
Oh, yes.
Like, that's something that's like something a nerdy person like me would say when I'm trying to be stupid and learning my powers. And it's, oh man, and I heard the art is so good, and the way he draws her stretching and growing, and when she scoops out, she rescues the preppy girl who was making fun of her. She rescues with this giant hand.
Yeah,
it's so cool.
It's so weird. Did you know that there's a there's an extra book, Miss Marvel Infinite Number One, that came out for free on Comixology?
I saw that and I downloaded it. I've not read it yet.
I read it before. Well, I read it while I was waiting for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's very brief. It's very fun. It explores her powers a little bit more, which I was a little bit confused about. And it shows her in the costume. She looks probably more like she's going to look.
Yeah, they have at the end of it in the next issue, they have the little preview of the next cover, and that looks like what her costume will end up being. But
you can see her in action if you get the free book.
Yes, if you are reading digitally, download the free Infinite comic. You get a little bit more insight here. But you get a lot. You get her exploring her powers, her inner dialogue, and her nerdiness coming out. And then and you get a lot of this family dialogue and tension about her parents not knowing, you know, what she's doing. They don't know about her powers, her devout brother. It's so interesting. And
yes,
the writing is
very strong.
Very strong and very,
very strong.
Very, very genuine and good. And you can...
This is easily, I'm going to say it for you, this is book of the week.
Easily
book of the week.
That is saying something, because I really enjoyed a lot. I mean, all these books I really liked, and this is the best one. It's very good. One of the most exciting thing. I'm so excited about this book now.
Yes.
I was wondering what 2 would look like, and 2, it's great.
Yeah.
Miss Marvel number 2, buy it. Go get it. Support this book. It's
run,
so good.
Run to the store. Run to the computer.
Run to the
comic book store.
It's a $3 title. It is worth every penny.
Yes. Absolutely.
Go support it. This kind of book deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
More than anything. If you're going to buy one comic this week, get this one.
It is worth at least 1/10 of a Batman on the horse.
Exactly. Next up in Marvel is New Avengers, number 15. Written by Jonathan Hickman, pencils by Simone Bianchi, ink and ink wash by Simone Bianchi and Riccardo Piericini? One of those. Colors
Just make up a name.
Joseph
Blow.
I butchered names. Colors by Adrian Dalapi. Letters by Joe Caramagna. This is... it's the Illuminati delving further into this, like, the sci-fi heady science fiction that, like, is the back of the storyline that they've been going through, of all these multiple Earths colliding into each other and these crazy alien forces interceding in different ways. And this Black Swan character, we get more, a little bit more background on her and her motivation, and interesting insights into, like, the future and the past, and it's a lot. And it has Maximus in it. Maximus the Mad. I'm always for that. I love Maximus.
It's like you can't... Yeah, that was kind of my problem, is you sort of can't tell who he even is. He's just so weirdly drawn.
Yeah,
it bothered me.
Yeah, the art in this...
The art is... It's not bad,
no.
But they kind of have the faces going on that looks... They always look like someone slapped him.
Yeah,
you know what
Tony
I mean?
Stark was my main problem in this, because he's like wearing his pajamas. I don't understand why he's. It looks like he just woke up, and I mean he's in Wakanda in the necropolis, and he's like looks like pajamas. He has a belt on, but it.
And he's walking around like, I don't understand what's going on.
I know, like if you're gonna make some, I mean, these are all supposed to be very, very intelligent men.
Yeah, he's supposed to be one of the most brilliant people on Earth. He's like, I'm the stupid one.
I know. I do. I like his line about "you're making my teeth hurt," but
yeah,
because I mean, at that point, he was speaking for the audience. Like, come on,
no, and he is.
But I think there's got
to be a cleaner way to do that.
It's tricky when you have a group of people who are all super geniuses.
Yeah, they're exactly. No one's going to be like, duh, I don't get it. What's going on?
Oh, we're all super scientists? I don't know about this time travel.
I don't understand this.
Come on, Beast. Hank McCoy, can't you explain it a little simpler for a simple man like me?
That's a good voice. I think we need to... I think this is the old prospector's partner.
Yes, he is the old prospector's
partner.
We're
all pages.
I'm just a billionaire philanthropist who walks around in a giant super technological suit of armor that shoots lightning bolts from my hands.
I don't know nothing about none such things.
What's time travel and all this mirror business? I don't get this at all.
Did you see that this was rated like 2 stars on Comixology?
I probably because people don't. It's so
no,
dense.
No, people don't. It is very dense. And I knew that was going to be the reason that people aren't going to. It's not. This has never been a typical Marvel book. But I like that there's a home for they're doing. They're even niche marketing within the full array of Marvel titles, and that's great.
This is Jonathan Hickman, really what he did as an indie writer. We need to do it. We'll read a Hickman book for indie Hickman book for Nerd Book for Book Club eventually. But
for what book club?
For Nerd Boy Book Club.
Aren't you looking forward to that?
Yes, and I have almost all of his indie books, his collections, and this is what they're dense and sometimes almost incomprehensible. It's so much like weird theoretical kind of science fiction.
It's great that we can have a more hard sci-fi comic within the Marvel umbrella.
Yes, and I'm a little disappointed there's no Doctor Strange in this because the last issue had a
speaking of which, that's kind of another problem that I have with this. That it kind of feels like, oh, this is a waiting issue. That this is an issue that has to happen because there's problems in continuity. That these characters have to be at this point at this time, and these characters need to sit around and twiddle their thumbs until there's time.
I mean, there's a little bit of that in that, and I was mainly disappointed that there wasn't Doctor Strange, because there's a huge cliffhanger in the last issue that was freaking amazing with Doctor Strange, like in this market for sinners, and he was like going to sell his soul for a solution to their problems, basically, and you don't know what happens, and then you get this issue, I'm like, oh, there's some Doctor Strange in this, and there wasn't any, but I don't mind the kind of twiddling the thumbs a little bit, because you do get some the Black Swan has been this mysterious figure this entire run, and you finally get a little bit of background on her and her experience with these big giant figures. Some of it is still incomprehensible because you don't know what is happening, because you don't know the full story on a lot of this, but aside from wonky Tony Stark
and Wonky Maximus.
Yeah, Wonky Maximus. I mean, he's not in it a lot, honestly. You just see him in a few panels, and he gets beaten up. I don't know if you can hear that. There's a kitten meowing.
I can hear it so much. Yeah. It's so funny.
There's a kitten meowing in the background.
I've been laughing at you the whole time.
I'm sure Kim is falling asleep.
You're sitting here going on this rant, I can't even interrupt. Meow. I'm just like,
the kitten downstairs is not. I'm sure Kim is falling asleep, and the kitten is like, "Where's my play friend? I want to play." Meow. Oh my god.
It's kitten time.
Kitten
Jesus.
Time. He's stopped momentarily, thankfully.
So you're.
New Avengers 15.
The main thing for me was we're exploring more on Black Swan, and we're seeing how dark her past is.
Yeah.
Any shortcomings that I have with the penciling, I think, are pretty deftly covered up by the colorist.
Mm-hmm.
These are not my perfect pencils and inks, but I think they're serviceable. And it's quite fun and dynamic in some places. So I think there's enough meat to this that it is definitely worth continuing. This is not the strongest issue, in my opinion.
The last issue was better, but this one's still good. And
this one's worth buying.
Yes.
You have to push this one forward. It's so interesting.
Yeah, it's Jonathan Hickman writing the stuff he likes to write, which is weird theoretical science fiction stuff with dimensions and time travel and shifting of distortion and all kinds of weird things. But New Avengers 15, good series. One I buy every time it's released, and I am a buy.
I'm a buy as well.
So that's a double Dublé buy. If you haven't noticed, that was a Dublé buy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Not sure what language that is.
That's Hansominium.
Hansominium. It's that's not a metal.
No, that's a language.
That's not a metal made out of your face.
My face doesn't have any metal in it aside from my glasses, which are not technically part of my face. They're on my face.
If you say so.
If I say so.
This sounds all very thrown together.
You mean it thrown together. I have extensively mapped Hansominium, the language of this podcast.
Okay, if you say
I
so.
I have a rosette. Oh, look, a kitten has appeared.
It's dangerous to go alone. Take this.
Yes, exactly. Our last book of the week is our indie book of the week, and that is Sovereign, number one. Written by Chris Roberson, art by Paul Mayberry, colored by Paul Mayberry with Jordan Gibson, letters by John J. Hill. This is like a story in three sections, exploring three different groups of characters, all in the same universe of, it seems like a fictional, almost like a Mongolian type culture. Mm-hmm. Like horse warriors, guys who, you know, are nomads who ride around on horses and kind of use bow and arrow, you know, to conquer land and, you know, live in the grasslands. But there's like these priest figures who are shunned. And then there's also this kind of white Anglo-Saxon people who are on a boat who seem to be traveling towards this area where these cultures are. And
it seems to be that these cultures are sort of amalgams, like they're like England and England and not Iceland, because that's the first thing that came to mind, but Scandinavia.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
Because they have a religion based on what do you call it? Thor and Odin paganism, whatever the Viking religions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of pagan religion. He's the captain prays to the All Father.
Right. Man. Yeah.
It looks like they're both the Mongols. They're Mongols and they're also Indian.
Yeah. It reminded me. I hate. We do this all the time. It reminded me of Game of Thrones in that regard. How
I know, isn't it terrible that we just keep doing this? Everything's Game of Thrones.
I know, but
we're so unoriginal.
It does remind me of Game of Thrones, the way that the cultures are mixed together. That's how, I mean, George R. R.
Martin.
And
how the dead are coming back to life.
Yeah, the dead are coming back to life. And it reminded me, actually, in regard to that, to that Sandman story with the, like, the city of, like, Undertakers.
Yes.
That's all they do is prepare bodies and stuff, and
that's a very good comparison.
It reminded me of that Sandman story. Because there's one of the groups in this comic, that is their role, they're outcasts for the most part. They live by themselves in a city and they're shut off. They're literally
outcasts because there is a caste system.
Exactly. And some of this is spelled out in like an afterword.
Yeah,
where it's like it's told in. Not it's like I don't know how to explain it, because it's like it feels like a history lesson almost. It's not really a story.
It's like a
chapter from a history book it's not like you'd read like in a four, like, you know, in the first page, like a recap page. It doesn't feel like that. It is it's just a lot of background information. It's written well enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how I feel about them including it. I'm sure they have a reason, because, I mean, there's probably a lot of background. And it's written well enough that I don't mind it being there, because I could read it and it didn't bore me. It was, you know, interesting, and it gives background in the history of these characters and this cultures. How did you feel about that, Eric?
What, in terms of the overall book, or just in terms of the sex?
Just including that history and stuff. Do you think that was necessary?
I don't know that it was necessary, but it did clear some things up. Like, I don't think you really got a clear picture of the caste separation.
No, you didn't. Because,
and the priest, because that was all spelled out in the end.
Right.
Because I read that, and I'm like, okay, that makes sense. Well, there are these different parts. Why these people did this, it's becoming a little clearer.
Yeah.
Like, to be perfectly honest, it's not even 100% clear. I thought this was told on the first read-through. I thought this was told in three distinct time periods. Like, we're talking, like, Paleolithic or, you know, Bronze Age or something. Mm-hmm. And then there is, like, you know, way later when you're talking about, like, the Mongols conquering things.
Yeah.
Except it wasn't clear what the ethnic group was. There's Indians, there's Mongols, what's going on?
Right.
These people really not the same?
No.
Maybe. And then there's English people, but there's a guy that worships Thor.
Right.
If
you don't read that afterward and you have to make some inferences to see that, because none of these groups connect. They don't, like, they very vaguely reference each other, if at all.
Yes.
And you can't necessarily, you know, figure out that, you know, they belong together unless you read that afterward. So I understand why they included it. Regardless, I did enjoy this book. I liked it. Mm-hmm. I like the art. I like the story. I compared it to Game of Thrones, but you know, it's good. Game of Thrones is good. This is good. I enjoy
it. Normally when we compare things to Game of Thrones, it's not like, this is shitty, just like Game of Thrones.
No, we like Game of Thrones, and I like this. I from what I can tell, Eric has enjoyed it too.
To be honest, I think I've enjoyed it. I enjoy it more looking back on it.
Right.
I think it benefits from a reread. I think that I've also benefited from discussing it.
Right.
And, like, I think there's stuff that he's not saying in the story, mm-hmm. that he needs all this dictionary at the end.
Yes.
And I think that is to its detriment.
Right.
That it's, I don't know how else he could have done it.
I would prefer,
but it's not quite right.
Yeah. I that's why I brought it up in the first place, you know, its inclusion. Mm-hmm. I will say that I prefer them just doing this, you know, 2.5 pages or 3 pages of, you know, relatively well-written exposition about these cultures and how in their history versus 4 issues of bad exposition, people explaining this stuff in slow and boring ways.
I think it would have made sense after each of the 3 sections to have a small section about them.
That's true.
Rather than those little quotes.
Right.
Maybe just to have a section and explain it and give us something to go on.
Right. I like the little quotes and the little mm-hmm. chapter, you know, intermission things. But I do think, I'd agree with you there, that I think if you included a page,
it would have made at the much end, more sense.
Or at the beginning, or either way, and just explained what this group was and their, you know, their history. You don't have to give motivations about each character, which they don't generally most of these characters that we're following, you don't really read about them in the history. It's more about what came before them and surrounds them for the most part. I really enjoy the Nordic slash mm-hmm. like English slash,
yes,
you know, whatever the white people on the boat story is.
The Anglos.
Yeah, the Anglos. There is a scientist or a learned guy with a big blonde hairdo.
He looks like butt ugly Johnny Quest.
He does. He's their narrator for that section.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of interesting. I like that they're including that. You're getting, it's another, you get
another point of view.
Yeah, in the first one, you're getting this mystical kind of thing where they're taking these psychotropic drugs that are giving them more sight, like additional, they get them powers. Mm-hmm. And then in the second, you're getting this very down-to-earth, this warrior culture. And the third one, you get a clash between these Nordic pirate, you know, swashbuckling guys and this kind of bookish guy who is all about science and facts. And, you know, he can't, he's not a man of faith. He talks about these men as men of faith. He is not one of them. And I think it's really, I like that it provides all these different perspectives, and you can see mm-hmm. where they're going to be eventually being, you know, hitting, joining together, clashing in various ways. And I think that's the main reason I like this. Do you, the art, how do you feel about the art, Eric?
I do enjoy it. Particularly the early stuff in the book mm-hmm. is very pulpy. Do you agree?
Yeah, I can see
Paul
it.
Pope?
Yeah. I can see it.
It's that was the very first thing I thought is like, did Paul Pope draw this? And I'm like, I forbid him to draw it because he needs to be drawing me more Battling Boy.
He needs to get back to work, Paul.
For me.
Yes, just for Eric, only alone.
But no, it's good. Paul Pope is another comparison. Will not be. It is not shitty like Paul Pope. Paul Pope. It is good like Paul Pope.
Paul Pope is good, and it's good yes. like Paul Pope. Yes,
unquestioningly. No, it's a nice looking book. The color is handled very similar to Battling Boy.
It is. Yeah, you're right.
Flat tones mostly. Similar color stories as well. Sets the mood very similar.
Yeah.
So I'd say that. In terms of the art, it is actually quite similar to Battling Boy,
which
quite similar.
That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. That's a good thing. It is not shitty like Battling.
No,
Boy.
Battling Boy is freaking amazing.
Yeah, it is.
And this is pretty good.
Right. You know, my only beef with this, apart from what we've already said,
mm-hmm.
is that there's no real hook. And you know, yes, there is. The dead rising,
mm-hmm.
and especially, is it a spoiler to say what rises? The sea monster?
I mean, it's on like the third page of that story.
It's a zombie shark.
Yeah, something like
it's
that.
It's a zombie shark,
plus,
guys.
And, you know, there's...
But that's not a hook. I'm sorry to cut you off. That's not a hook. The dead rising is not a hook. How many times have you seen things come back to life?
Yeah, honestly, what intrigues me about this is nothing to do with that.
Yes.
It's all these cultures and these different perspectives and, like,
mm-hmm.
the mystical versus the warriors versus the scientists versus these sailors versus all these clashing cultures. That's what interests me about this. And that makes me want to keep reading. And I nothing to do with, you know, zombie anything. I don't...
Well, this is basically Game of Thrones set in the Renaissance in terms of the way this looks at the end, where the dead are coming back to life and
yeah.
you have to stop it. I mean, there's a lot of elements that aren't there.
But I mean, it's, you know. Game of Thrones has so much stuff in it. It's hard sometimes. I mean, if there's any time when you go, oh, where there's this and this and this, and they're all clashing and fighting for the same thing. But mm-hmm. at the same time, there's this giant omnipresent threat that threatens to kill them
yeah.
all. Yes, and there's a lot. That's a very easy plot kind of.
Yeah, it's
construct.
Not the most unique.
You
one.
See it.
Yes.
Why Game of Thrones is so good is nothing to do with the plot constructs. It's about the characters, and mm-hmm. I think in the same way this will succeed if it continues to be good, it will succeed
right.
on the strength of its characters and the way that.
And I absolutely agree. Like I'm not hooked by. What is supposed to be the hook.
Right.
Which is exactly what you're saying.
Right. So we do have some criticisms of it, but I still think overall it's definitely worth reading. It's still very good. Sovereign number one, I'm a buy.
Yeah, I'm a buy as well. It's only a little squishy.
Right, just a little bit squishy. Just like that giant dead shark.
Just like the giant zombie shark.
Yeah. So that's Sovereign number one. Double buy. Other stuff.
Double buy.
Other stuff came out this week. Daredevil number one, Ghost Rider number one, the two big number ones for Marvel again. We didn't read either of them.
Didn't we try and read Ghost Rider already?
It came out last week, but it said it was going to come out last week. It didn't come out last week. It came out this week. It has Trad Moore on art. I like Trad Moore. He does Legend of Luther Strode, and that's eventually going to be a trilogy, but he does the art on Ghost Rider. He's doing the art on Ghost Rider right now. It's not Johnny Blaze. It's like a Latino teenager who actually drives a car. He's not a motorcycle.
So it's Ghost Rider, Fast and Furious.
Probably, which not necessarily bad as long as
that's not a terrible concept. As much as I want to make fun of that.
That's what the best things about the later Fast and Furious movies is. Just here, we're just going to do crazy things. Here's tanks and cars flying across interstates and just insanity. And I think that's, and Trad Moore is, his Luther Strode books are all about crazy violence, like completely over the top, ultra violence. And I like his style a lot. I'm actually kind of interested. We'll read another one because I want to see what you think about his art, Eric. I'm interested in what you think about it. Thor God of Thunder 20 and Superior Foes of Spider-Man 10 came out. It worries me that those issues came out so close together. Like they're pushing them out to get them done with. Because Superior Foes of Spider-Man, I like it so much. I don't want it to get canceled. Trades, they got to release New Avengers Volume 1, Everything Dies in Trade Paperback. It's been out on card cover. Noah, which is a loose adaptation of the Darren Aronofsky movie that's coming out, also called Noah, with Russell Crowe and a lot of other big names. And then, last but certainly not least, probably first and foremost, is Saga Volume 3. It came out. If you haven't already bought it, go buy it, because Saga's the best.
Yeah, I'm almost sick of talking about it.
Yeah, we've given away Saga 1, 2, 3 for our contest at MegaCon, and
chances are you might have heard us say that.
Yes. If you saw us at MegaCon, you probably heard us hammer that into the ground for you. But Saga's the best, and Volume 3 is coming out. I'm got it pre-ordered through Amazon, so until Amazon ships it to me, I won't read it, but it's Saga, so I'm gonna just say it's gonna be great, because I can't imagine it won't be. So there you go. That will bring this episode to close. We're already running too long. It's almost midnight, and we need to get some sleep, because both of us have to get up early and work tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Work extra hard.
But otherwise, this weekend has been a great weekend, I'm very excited for the future of the podcast. Mm-hmm. But that will bring us to a close. This is episode 45. We are the Handsome Boys Comics Hour. You can find us on handsomeboyscomicshour.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can find every episode right there, streaming and downloadable. You can also find us on iTunes. Subscribe to us there. Leave us reviews. Good reviews get us more listeners, and that is good for everybody. You can also find us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. You'll see us in your feed. You can see our newest episodes pop up, and you don't have to go hunting for them. Facebook.com/HandsomeBoysComicsHour. We're on Twitter at HBCHour. Tweet at us there. We'd like to hear from you. You can email us at HandsomeBoysComics@gmail.com. Same thing goes for that. Please, we'd like to hear. We want feedback. If you want us to read something, you disagree with us, you agree with us, criticism, suggestions, anything, please. We want to hear from you. That's part of the show. We want to know what you think about what we're reading. And the comics in general. Finally, you can find us on Tumblr, handsomeboyscomicshour.tumblr.com. You can find me, Robbie, at MixmasterSheryl on Twitter, and the same on Tumblr. That's MixmasterSheryl. MixmasterSheryl. Eric, where can they find you and your stuff online?
You can look at my portfolio at freewillunlimited.com. And you can see most of the things I get up to at ericzgoodnight.com. And you can tweet at me on Twitter. I am Mr. Bad Example, MR Bad Example.
Because Eric is Mr. Bad Example.
Yes. Even when I'm a good example of something.
Yeah, exactly. So, folks, until next time, have a good one.
Rock and roll.